We're here. Why are we here? Crazy. We're basically celebrating a birthday. We're celebrating Jesus's birthday. And this is where my mind was thinking about what to say here this evening or this afternoon. It's a birthday party, basically. And I was thinking, right, well, people love birthday parties. I mean, it's basically a day when you can say, okay, listen, it's your day, it's your birthday party. What do you want to do? What is it that you want to eat? And it doesn't matter whether everyone else likes it because it's your day and they have to do whatever you want and they have to eat whatever you want because it's your birthday. I mean, even to the point where if people like myself with young children, we've ended up spending hours of our life wasting them in places like PlayStation full of sweaty children and smelly socks, and we go there, why is that? Just because it's their birthday and we have to do whatever they want. And so I was thinking here this morning, right then, well, if we're here to celebrating Jesus' birthday, if this is all about him, if we're actually here this evening because it's his birthday, then the first question we need to do is, like we do with others, to say, right, what does he want us to do? Well, remember, when it's our birthday, people ask you, what is it you want to do? So it is only right that we now say, okay, how is it and what is it that Jesus wants to do in order to celebrate his birthday? I mean, just imagine, okay, we are celebrating a time whenever Jesus was born into this world, where he came as man and he walked this earth. So you can imagine now, if he walked through this door and we said, okay, Jesus, this period of festive party, and it's all about you, so therefore, what is it that you want to do? If you could ask Jesus this afternoon, it's your birthday, what is it that you want us to do? I want you to think about how he would answer that. About what he would say to you. Believe it or not, big shock horror, I know, I can be known for being quite stingy, quite tight. I know that shocks many of you, but I'm not really into birthday parties that much. All my family wasn't, but I've married into a family that are big into birthday parties. So I would struggle to spend a few pounds on someone's, basically, you're celebrating someone existing for another year. That's what it is in my mind. And I struggle to build this elaborate sort of birthday party. And I can be a bit tight whenever we're celebrating. But think about this birthday party that we're celebrating. Are you thinking about the amount of money you spent on food? I mean, have you seen Asda recently? I hope you haven't. It is crazy. You think about the amount of money you spent on the presents. Think about the weeks of preparation that's going into it. Some people even wear special clothes in order to celebrate Christmas. There's a lot of money going into celebrating Christmas. But has anyone stopped and actually thought, yeah, because this is what Jesus wants? Is this what you want? Or is it just tradition? Or is it actually how Jesus would have you celebrate? I thought of a really weird passage, okay, I want to read to you, and you might think this is not Christmassy at all, right? But this is where my mind was going about what would Jesus say if he was to tell us here this afternoon about how he wanted to celebrate his birthday. And it's a passage in John with regards to when Jesus went and washed his disciples' feet. This is what he actually says here. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and he returned to God. So there, straight away he's saying, listen, I'm Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He was the Son of God. There is everything that was under his authority. Okay then, so how is it that this Lord of Lords and King of Kings, what is it that he wants to celebrate? So this is what he did. So he got up from the table. He took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had around him. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You see, you call me teacher and you call me Lord. That's why we're here this evening. Okay, and you're right, because it's true. And since I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. I think he's telling us and communicating, this is how I want to celebrate. This is how I want you to remember. These are the things I want you to do in an act of love and celebrating Jesus. So if you want to know what Jesus would have you do, he has basically set an example for us. He wants us to follow it and to serve others. See, Jesus served us out of love. That video described it there. He loved us so much that he didn't just wash smelly, dirty feet, because by the way, they would have worn sandals and they would have been in a dirty, dusty road sort of thing. And he got down in between the toes and he washed them all. He didn't just stop there. He actually went the full way and said, "Do you know what? I'm going to sacrifice my life. I'm going to go the full way. There is nothing that I will stop at in order to serve you. I will even die in excruciating pain on the cross." And he's saying, "Right then, for those people who love me, I now want you out of this love, being motivated by Jesus' love, because he first loved us. I now want you to go and serve others." Now stop. Does this reflect your Christmas? Because that's what he's asked us to do. So you think about what we're actually doing, then you stop and you say, right, Jesus has asked us to serve other people out of love. Are we doing that? Or is there a big gap? Is there a void? I ask you the question, do you think Jesus would be interested in having a great party? Do you think he's really interested in your quality of food that you have on your table at Christmas Day? Do you think he's interested in the number of presents or the amount that it costs? Do you think he's interested in the quality of the cooking and so forth? Because that's not why Jesus came, people. He came to serve. He didn't come here to be pampered. And he desired us to receive him, to accept him, and then to serve others out of love for God. You see, whenever we ask God, what is the most important? In the Bible, in the New Testament there, actually a number of religious leaders said to him, "God, you see the Ten Commandments we got there? What is it that's most important? What is it, if you really had to sum it up, how is it? Or what is the most important thing to you?" And he said, "I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And because you love the God with all your heart, with all your soul, with your mind, I want you therefore to go and love your neighbor." You can't separate the two. And your neighbor isn't the person who you like next door, or the person, Uncle Joe down the street. We're talking about the person whose society shuns. See, we rejected Jesus. He died for the very people who were banging the nails into his hand. That's how he showed his love. And he asked us to do the same. The very person that you struggle with at work, he wants you to love them. The difficult family member, we all have them, I want you to love them. The person that society rejects, I want you to love them. And do that out of motivation for your love for Jesus. Think about it this way. These are some of the thoughts that I wrote down. If you're at a birthday party, okay, sticking with the same theme, and you saw the person whose birthday you're celebrating, and they were without a drink, or they were just standing there with an empty plate, and there was a big spread on, or anything like that, you'd be running up to them straight away, and you'd be saying, "Listen, can I get you a drink? Can I get you something to eat? After all, we're here to celebrate you, aren't we?" You wouldn't let them go without. You can imagine, again, if Jesus suddenly walked through the door, you'd all get up and maybe offer your seat to him and say, "What is it that I can get you? How is it that I can serve you, Jesus?" And you see, Jesus uses that example very much to show that people aren't actually serving him. In Matthew 25, he gives an example and he tells the people, he says, the people that he's talking to, he says, "You let me go hungry and you let me go thirsty." And if you're anything like the people he was speaking to, you might stop here a minute and go, "Well, hang on a minute there. If Jesus walked through the door, I would not let him go hungry. And I would not let him go thirsty. And if he had a need, I would make sure that I serve it and I meet that need." None of us would be shocked to think that we'd let the Lord Jesus go without serving him. But Jesus turned around to those very people that were asking him and saying, "Lord, we didn't see you go hungry. We didn't see you go thirsty." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it for one of the least," for that person struggling in your community, for those people in the world who are going hungry, who are going thirsty, who have a need, You see the people that you come across and you know that they need a helping hand. You see those people there because you didn't do it for those, because you did not meet the needs of people around you, therefore you did not do it for me. Because you didn't serve others out of love, you did not love me, Jesus says. And in fact, in the Matthew 25, Jesus explains, do you know what? That's how I'm actually going to come and I'm going to separate people. He was talking about judgment. He says, I'm going to separate those people who love me and therefore serve others and those people who do not love me and simply serve themselves. You can go to a carol service. This might not be your only carol service that you go to this year. You can bow your head in prayers. We can sing the songs. We can enjoy everything that's going on. But you see, if you step out the door here this evening and you ignore the people around you, and I'm talking to those people who are visitors here this morning and the members of this church. If you step out this door this evening and you ignore and you're not involved in people's lives who need help, then it doesn't matter what you've sung or what you've said in this building, because you are not celebrating how Jesus has asked you to or living your lives how he has asked you to. It's Christmas, and it's the rest of the year. Is it about you? Or is it about loving Jesus the way he has asked us to? And in Matthew 25, Jesus says, listen, there's going to be eternal consequences for the things that you love. In our culture, we give the best to those people who are most powerful, to those people who are most rich. We kind of bend over backwards to try and help them. But Jesus said, this Christmas, with your lives, this is how I want you to celebrate me. I want you to serve the very least. Because when you serve them and you love them, then you love me. So I'm asking the question again, what is it that we can do this Christmas in order to honor Jesus? To show the fact that we are truly celebrating him. Are we going to dictate how to celebrate his birthday with the way that we want to and the food that we want to and the presents we want to and do all of the things out of tradition because we want to do them? Or are we going to stop and say, do you know what? It's about Jesus. So let's find out about Jesus and what he wants. I've got one last example of you to show you what I was thinking about this in order to share this evening. What sort of parent would I be if it was my daughter's birthday, and on her birthday party, we threw a party, what sort of parent would I be, or father would I be, if I turned up at her birthday party? And you see, for those couple of hours, I told her she was great. I told her she was absolutely fantastic, and that she means the world to me. And I bought her an expensive gift, and I made sure that I dressed well for her, and I let everyone know that she's my daughter, and it was great. And then after the birthday party, I left, and she didn't see me for all year. Do you think she would have got what she wanted for her birthday? Because I think that's what a lot of us do when it comes to Jesus. We say, yeah, I'm here to celebrate Jesus. Christmas is all about Jesus. So I'm going to go to the birthday party here, and then I'm going to leave. And the rest of the year, it's going to be about mine, about me. And just the way you can imagine how it would affect a child if that was happened to a parent, if a parent did that. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm concerned about your life. I'm concerned about where you are and what you're doing throughout the year, day in and day out. I'm not going to read to it, but Philippians 2 verse 7, it says this, and I want to close with this. It said about Jesus that when he was born, he emptied himself because, remember, he said he had authority over everything, that he was the Son of God. He emptied himself and he took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death and death on a cross. Jesus humbled himself to serve you, even though that he was a king. And I'm asking you this Christmas, is Christmas more about celebrating your life because you're doing it the way that you want to? Are you continuing to serve yourself? I'm challenging you this morning Do you love Jesus? And is that being shown in the way that you are loving others, even the very least that you come among? We're going to sing a number of carols. I think we're going to close with two carols.